just put in the back of your minds, there'll be no prayer on Friday due to the meetings. And then this Sunday, I believe Sister Jody got to the sisters already for a carry-in following service, one service on Sunday. Amen. So keep that in the back of your minds. Amen. We do have two prayer requests this evening. One's from our brother Caleb. Brother Caleb says, my friend Aaron's brother, LJ, tried to commit suicide yesterday. Thank God it failed, but I want to ask the church to pray that God deliver him from what he's going through. He's only a sophomore in high school, this LJ, so keep LJ in prayer. Amen. And then for our brother James, who is here this morning, the new Pastor Cam, he has an unspoken prayer request he'd like the church to keep in mind. Amen. I'm going to ask our brother Paul if he'd come lead us in with prayer. Also over tithing and offering.
God bless the church. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we just come this evening, Lord. Just thank you for everybody who was able to press out today, Lord, and just to be able to be here for second service, Lord. May we just open our hearts and open our minds for your word, Lord. Just bless Brother JJ, Lord, as he brings the word, Lord. May we just keep our brothers and sisters, Lord, in prayer, Lord. Just keep them strong, Lord, through these tough days, Lord. And just may you just continue to bless this family of church here, Lord. And we just love you and praise you with all we have, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And let's sing that song, God is Good, all the time. Amen. And God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And in
higher, 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 higher,
every bit of that, right? Let's sing that song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Amen. What can wash away my sin? And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And no precious is that blood that glad morning. Amen. In some glad morning, when the sun is time that we have together, a wonderful time to hear the Word of God with one another again. We want to give as much time to the Word as possible. How many were blessed by this morning's sermon? Amen. Good to see them. God using such a young brother in the way he is. Amen. So I look and see him and I say, boy, he's a little bit ahead of me where I was at with that time. So it's certainly a blessing to see a gift like that. Amen. So we're looking forward to hearing again from God tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Now, maybe by the grace of God, brother, do we have that virgin bride to be? We'll sing a song real quick, and then we'll get our brother out here.
Bride to be, and one night.
evening, amen? Amen. That's our song right there, amen? I love it because the song says, it says we've stayed with the Word. Amen. No matter what persecution, no matter what trial, no matter what distress come our way, we stayed with the Word. Crowned by the Word of God, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Perhaps we'll sing one song here as we invite our brother out, amen? We'll give him some time to preach the Word of God. And we're looking forward to communion today. Amen? Amen. Let's sing that song, I Got a River of Life. Get some blood pumping again. Get ready to move. Very quickly, let me say this. Today is Brother Steve Delaney's birthday. He has come through the shadows and through creeping all the places here. And we have found out that it's his birthday. So, if you would, bother your brother when you get your chance, and make sure that you let him know to have a happy birthday. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that song, I've Got a River of Life.
Oh, and I've got a river of life.
praise the Lord. How about we sing that song, He Looked Beyond My Faults? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. And I pray we come for one purpose, not to see me. I ain't much to look at, but to receive from God. And that's our desire, to receive from God. And I'm so thankful that He looked beyond my faults. Looked beyond my flesh. And He saw what you had need of. You know, it's really easy to ask for what we want. But it's hard to ask for what we need. Because many times we don't want it. We're afraid of it. We're afraid of what the Holy Ghost will make you do. Afraid to be an outcast. Or afraid, maybe my friend will say this, or my friends will say that. It doesn't make no difference what anybody says. Praise the Lord. Amazing grace shall always be my song. These words, I do not know just why He came to love, but thank God that He looked beyond all my faults and saw my need. Let's sing with all our hearts. I shall forever live my life. Thankful for that. Amen. Looking beyond our faults and seeing what we have need of. Amen. It's good to be back together again. Amen. No other place I'd rather be but in the presence of God. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 7. Romans, chapter 7. Verse 15. The Lord kind of changed my direction this evening. So we just want to yield to the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Bible reads this way. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it. Oh, this is Paul.
Amen. Right.
Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Amen.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more, notice he says it again, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. After the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now notice this. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I myself serve the law of God with the mind, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. I want to speak on a personal warfare. A personal warfare. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today again, Lord. Father, asking that you would come down, Father, and may you use our words that we speak of today, Lord. Father, may you come down and may you not only break the bread of life, but may you bless it. And Father, as it goes forth from my lips, I pray that it would drop into a predestinated seed, Father, and it would draw them closer to you. Yeah. Father, we're a needy people. We have needs in our life, Lord, and we know that you're the only ones that can meet our needs. Father, we bring our petitions, the ones that are hidden in our heart, Lord, and we bring them before you. Father, may you have preeminence in this service this evening, Lord. And Father, may everything we do and say be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you help me move aside. Body's a little tired, Lord, but I pray you give me strength to minister your word this evening, Lord. Father, I commit my vessel, commit my voice into your hands. And Father, may you use it to speak words of life. Father, I pray that you anoint the ear of the hearer, the hearts to receive it. But most of all, Father, help us to live it. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. A personal warfare. I wasn't going to speak on it, but I felt real led to speak on it, so just going with the leading of God. A personal warfare. You know, I look at this scripture, and I've said it different places. I've preached this. It's almost like reading a book that Dr. Seuss written. You know, it's kind of throwing you all over the place. You know, he talks about, for that which I do, I allow not, and for what I would, that do I not. It's kind of reading Fox and Socks. You know, it's just throwing you all over the place. But if you pay attention, there's a lot of gems that lay within this scripture. Talking about a personal warfare. Paul was a prophet of God, that was dealing with another law in his members. Talking about personally. Amen. Paul was saying, you know, it is not I that do it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. Amen. Talking about a little warfare going on within Paul the prophet. And we sit here today, and whether you want to believe it or not, but I'm sure every single person looked in the mirror this morning, and congratulations, you just met your greatest enemy. Praise the Lord. You know, the prophet of God said, my greatest enemy is William Branham. Amen. He didn't say it was Brother Neville or it was this brother or that brother. He said it's William Branham. And if I can get him out of the way, then God can move. He said William Branham gets tired and William Branham gets sick and William Branham don't want to do this. It's a warfare that we're dealing with. Now you look at the word personal. And the definition of personal is of or affecting or belonging to a particular person rather than to anyone else. So the warfare that you're dealing with don't belong to your wife. Come on now. Don't belong to your husband. Don't belong to your children. But it belongs to a particular person rather than anyone else. And I don't know about you, but my greatest enemy is this guy right here. Praise the Lord. You look at the word warfare. It's engagement in or the activities involved in war or conflict. A personal warfare. It's something that's within you that's warring and is having a conflict. A personal warfare. Laying a foundation, the message thirst. 65, he says, there is a control tower of the soul. And there's one for the body. And each tower is a warning caller for the needs of the other. Each one calls to the need for what the caller is calling for. It sends out a wave of warning. He says, for instance, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires that are in the body. And the spirit, dealing with two things here, the spirit desires for the things that's in the soul. Praise the Lord. That's in the soul. The desire is, and many times these war one against the other. We find there was a great trouble today that too many people try to live between those two desires. For one of them desires the things of the earth, and the other desires the things of heaven. Praise the Lord. So we're dealing with one that desires the things of the earth, and we're dealing with one that desires the things of heaven. Amen. And it's not laying within your family. It's laying right within your very being. A personal warfare. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you something. You're sitting in your seat this evening having a personal warfare. Amen. Because the flesh don't want to be here. The flesh is tired. The flesh ate a big meal and wants to go to sleep. But there's something on the inside that is trying to meet the desires of the soul. So there is a constant warfare going on. Personal warfare. Like Paul said, describes it in Romans 7:21, and we read it. When I would do good, then evil is nigh. He says, when you try, did you ever have that experience, Christians? That when you're trying to do something that's worthwhile, you go to make an effort to do something that's good, then you find out there is the devil. Praise the Lord. There is a devil on every hand just to upset you. Amen. Everything just to upset you. And that's one good thing that I'd like to say this, that the Christians might know that when you are starting to do something and there is something always trying to upset you in doing it, do it anyhow. That's the devil there trying to keep you from doing what's right. Praise the Lord. Coming to church is right. So there's the devil trying to convince you not to do right. When I would do good, evil is nigh. Praise the Lord. Paul didn't say, well, I'm having problems with this brother and that brother. But he's talking about sin that dwelleth in me. Praise the Lord. Amen. A personal warfare. What's a warfare? It's a battle. The prophet of God said the greatest battle you ever fought is in the mind. Praise the Lord. And Satan will throw thoughts your way and He'll say, well, this brother don't like you, that sister don't like, maybe you don't go to church, maybe you shouldn't go to church, or all these, Brother Cam, you know, he don't like you, and all, just using it as an example. And Satan is good at his job. Amen. We serve a great God. We talked about him this morning. But Satan is a powerful devil. Amen. We're not dealing with a little kitty devil with a pitchfork and horns on, but he's matured and his tactics has changed to try to offset you off the pathways of God. So he's dealing with your flesh, and it's a constant battle. And you're warring and you're fighting every day just to come to church on a Wednesday night. Warring to come to church on a Sunday morning. Maybe your car don't start or you're running late. What is it? A constant battle between the flesh and the soul, the Spirit of God. A personal warfare. And that soul is the same way, believing God. Until the soul died and then was born again of God, then that soul can't die. The soul that sinneth shall die, but he that believeth on me has everlasting life. Then there's an immortal life living in that body. Praise the Lord. Living in that body. Now that's like a stream coming from heaven, like a car on the inside of a man. Now that's the part that's godly. Notice this. That's the part that is godly. It operates this body. But before this body can ever become perfect, the Spirit will bring it in submission to God. To make you. And he says, it'll war all the time. Praise the Lord. It'll war all the time. A constant, Paul said, we'll never get more than he. See, Paul said, when I would do good, then evil is near me. See? And there's a constant war. The flesh against the Spirit. It's a battle. Praise the Lord. It's a battle that's a constant warfare. And you're thinking, I want to go to church. And the flesh goes, fighting you every step of the way. That's why it's such a drag for people to come to the house of God, because they're feeding the desires of the flesh. Well, maybe I'll just stay home and kick my feet up on the recliner and maybe watch some TV, eat some popcorn. What is it? The flesh is desiring those things. Amen. And if you haven't brought your flesh under submission to the Spirit of God, it'll allow you to do it. And you all of a sudden miss one service and miss another service, and you're thinking, man, this is pretty good. What is it? A constant battle. Because you're dealing with one that desires the things of heaven and dealing with another that desires the things of this earth. How can there not be a battle? How can there not be a warfare going on? But us, we try to satisfy this and try to satisfy this one. What is he? He says, you can't live between those two desires. It's going to come to a point in your life where you've got to make a decision. Amen. It's a time today that we're looking at making a decision to either take up your cross and follow him or lay it down for the things of this world. And when Satan sees you trying to carry your cross, he's right there. Warring, fighting every step of the way. Praise the Lord. There's a constant war of the flesh against the Spirit. And here people will look to the flesh. The doctor said, and I believe, look how simple. Let you can't serve God, he says. You've got a soul beside your senses. God never give you those senses. God never gave you those senses to trust Him. He never gave you those senses to trust Him with. God give you His Spirit. His Spirit to you will trust. Your senses is only the contact see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But to you yourself is that Spirit that lives in you. And when that's been regenerated, praise the Lord, regenerated and the old man has died, not been put in the closet, not been put in the hospital and still kicking, but died. Amen. You've got to crucify this flesh. Praise the Lord. The prophet of God said, you know, if I can get William Branham out of the way, I'll be all right. And God will use me. They said, how do you see visions, Brother Branham? He says, well, no man can see visions, but if I can get William Branham out of the way, he says, I've got to crucify that guy. Amen. He's not talking about a brother or talking about, he's talking about himself. What is it? A personal warfare between the flesh and the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your senses is only the context, see, taste, smell, and hear. But to you yourself is that Spirit that lives in you. And when that's been regenerated and that old man has died, and the new man born again, that is a part of God. Then you become a son of God, an offspring of the Creator. Then you can believe the impossible things. Because you're made up of the miracle-working God, you are a part of Him. This flesh don't believe in miracles. Praise the Lord. That's why when the doctor says, I'm sorry, but as an example, Brother Freddie, you got cancer. And your flesh automatically thinks, oh, I'm going to die. Man, I need to go through chemo. I need to go. What is it? It's the flesh. It don't believe in the impossible things. But then the Spirit of God has given you a promise. And that spirit, they begin to war because one's saying, you're healed. And the other one's saying, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. But the other one's saying, you have a healer. That all you've got to do is believe and claim your healing. That's why there's so many people that are sick. Because it weighs on their mind. They think, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. And he says, if you want to be sick, you'll be sick. Because that's your flesh. It's your flesh speaking. Because they don't believe the impossible things. But the Spirit of God begins to look and says, all things are possible to them that believe. And the flesh and the spirit begin to war. And they begin to butt heads. And you're in a battle. And you don't even know it. There's a battleground laying within you. And you don't even know it. Praise the Lord. That's why you should shake your brother's hand because you don't know what kind of war they're going through. Shake your sister's hand and say, I love you. Praying for you. Why? Because you don't know what kind of a battle that they're facing. Are all battles the same? No. Your battle's different than my battle. Your battle's different than what I'm fighting. On and on and on. But every single one of us is in a constant war if you're trying to do right. Trying to give your life to God, He's going to fight every step of the way. Amen. Why? Because He don't want you to recognize who you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. He don't want you to come to recognition of a revelation of who you are. Amen. So there's a battle. Constant war. A personal warfare. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:1. We'll start at the beginning. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Right. Praise the Lord. There's your simplicity. Right. In the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. Then the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Amen. We're not walking after the flesh. We're not walking after the flesh. Praise the Lord. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now notice this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. If you're so interested in feeding this flesh, you're going to mind your parents. What does that mean? Listen. Mind your dad. Listen. You're going to mind. You're going to listen to the things of the flesh if you're walking after the flesh. Praise the Lord. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they, there's another group of people. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we're dealing with the flesh, and we're dealing with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. And those two cannot live together. That's why there's a warfare. Constant battle. Constant battle. And you're thinking, God, should I give up? Should I? It's the flesh. Because it's getting tired. You've been preaching a rapture for years. Where's it at? That's the flesh. But the Spirit of God says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. He goes on, he says, for to be carnally minded. Carnally minded is enmity against God. Praise the Lord. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So no matter what we do, this flesh can never please God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That leaves me out then. If you look at it this way, am I in flesh? Is this flesh? It is. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You've got to lay this aside, praise the Lord, and allow the Spirit of God to bring this flesh under subjection. Amen. It's a constant battle. To constant warfare. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Uh-oh. What do you mean I'm not in the flesh? Look at me. Praise the Lord. Revelation. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Amen. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. But you're not in the flesh, but of the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And then Paul closes this with, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So if we're trying to feed this flesh its desires, and you're minding the things of the flesh, you're going to die. Praise the Lord. Now we're not talking about a natural death, but we're talking about a spiritual death that is setting upon churches around the world. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be sitting in your pew and be dead. Oh, praise the Lord. Maybe that's just in Lordsburg. People sitting in their pews and they're dead because they're feeding the flesh. They're so focused on trying to satisfy this thing they live in. So it's a constant battle. And they're butting heads all day long. You try to go to pray and Satan's throwing your mind this way and throwing your mind that way. It's a constant battle that we're facing. Praise the Lord. So how do we overcome? How do we overcome? We notice Adam and Eve. God allowed them to fall in perfection. Complete perfection. And He's asking you to overcome in the middle of hell. This ain't God's Eden. Amen. This ain't God's Eden no more. This is Satan's Eden. Satan is the one that's ruling this land. That's why you see miniskirts up and down the streets. And oh, why? It's Satan's Eden. Amen. And he has a bride. Satan has a bride. He has an Eden. He has a bride. And Satan will use every tactic that's laying within his quiver to put you off the pathway of God. What better way than to use your own flesh? Your own body. Let me tell you something. We take care of these bodies. We do. We wash our hands before we eat. Brush our teeth. Comb our hair. Take showers. What is it? We take care of these bodies. These are like our prized possession. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I see all these people getting on diets, and I need to get on a diet, but see all these different things. Why? We want these bodies taken care of. That's why we eat right. That's why we try not to drink anything that, you know, that's not good for you, and that's not... What is it? We want these bodies. We take care of them. Amen. When it's cold, you don't go walking out in a short sleeve shirt in negative 43 degree weather. What do? You put a jacket on. Why? Because you're trying to take care of this body. Amen. But it's death. Prophet of God said you can put a $200 coat on, it's worth 83 cents. Whatever, how many cents it was, it's made of 16 elements. It's going back to the dust of the ground. So Satan is going to use it to war against the spirit because he knows you take care of him. He knows sometimes you listen to it. Think, oh, the flesh is too tired. Maybe I won't go to church. Maybe I won't pray. Maybe I won't read my Bible or study. What is it? A battle. Battle, warfare. Warfare. All the days of our life. He says, so you're a slave. You're marked. The Bible said in the last days that there would be two marks. And every person, not excluding anybody, every person on the earth would have one or the other. You just can't get out of it. One's the mark of the beast. The other one's the seal of God. And the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. God's provided way for His church, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of your redemption. And to reject, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To reject that Holy Spirit is to take on the mark of the beast. All that didn't have the mark of God had the mark of the devil. So you're marked. You're either marked a bond slave in the love of God, or you're marked a slave to the things of the world, of the devil. He says, that's hard, but we are slaves. We are slaves. Amen. And we want to serve Him all the days of our life. A slave is a servant. In order to be a servant, Jesus Christ, you have to be a slave to yourself. to be a slave for Jesus Christ, you have to be a slave to yourself. You have to be a slave to yourself. We want to serve Him all the days of our life. A slave is a servant. In order to be a servant of Jesus Christ, you have to be a slave to yourself. To crucify. Oh God, let it sink in. Crucify yourself and your flesh and your desires. Your flesh and your desires, that God might take hold in your heart to move you, to motivate you. Crucifying the flesh daily. Not just the flesh, but the desires that this flesh has. Praise the Lord. That's the slave of Christ, the bond slave, Paul called it. He said he was a slave to the Lord Jesus, a bond slave in service for the Lord Jesus, going about daily crucifying the flesh to be a slave for Jesus Christ, rejoicing because he was a slave. What kind of a slave is that? To rejoice? To be happy you're a slave? If you're a slave of the devil, you'll never be happy. You'll never be happy. You'll never find the peace that you're looking for. Remember that kid that lacked iron or whatever it was, and he would sit there and eat the erasers? And they thought, you can't be doing it. It was something in his body. It was lacking something. So he tried to feed it, tried to cure the desire by eating erasers. And there's something in your life. There is a desire that's longing for something. And many times we try to feed it with drinking alcohol. And we think that's the desire. That's what's going to cure it. Or this or that. What is it? There's a desire, a longing for something. And we try to feed it with this and feed it with that, you'll never be happy. Praise the Lord. The only thing alcohol will give you is a good headache. The only thing drugs will give you is a good high and all these different things. Just a few minutes of pleasure. And then you're back and you're thinking, man, I don't feel... That's a slave to the flesh. But you'll rejoice when you become a slave for Christ. Daily. Daily. Crucifying the flesh. Praise the Lord. To be a slave for Jesus Christ, rejoicing because he was a slave. He says, that's it. Now listen to this in the total deliverance. Jesus was completely, totally man. M-A-N. Man. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could be tired like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being. You mean Jesus had a warfare? Absolutely. He was completely man in his physical being. And in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So in his physical being, he was a man. But in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. And let me tell you something. The flesh and the man and God, sometimes they war one against another. The flesh and the spirit, they war. Constant battle. So Jesus is dealing with the spirit that's God and a flesh that's a man. And it gets tired, and it gets weak, and it gets tempted, and it gets tried. A battlefield, a war. He was completely, totally God. So he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. Jesus was a man. Jesus was dealing with a warfare between a spirit and flesh? Well, it's my disciples that I'm dealing with. I need to bring them on. You know, he's talking about his flesh. I need to bring this submissive to the spirit that lays within me. And the spirit was God. Praise the Lord. So he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him, you see. He was tempted in all manners, like we are, he says. Like we are. He was a man, not an angel. He was a man. He had desires and temptations just like we do. Just like we do. The Bible said he did. He was a man, not an angel above temptation. Hebrews 1 said that, Hebrews 1, 4, he was made a little lower than the angels. We read that this morning. He was a man, completely man, that God, I love this, God took a complete man to bring a total deliverance. Took a complete, only man to bring a total deliverance. Why? Because Jesus brought his flesh under subjection to the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. To bring a total deliverance. And he filled him with his Spirit. The Holy Ghost was in him without measure. And he was tempted like we were. And he was completely God. He proved it when he raised the dead. When he stopped nature. Praise the Lord. The roaring seas and the mighty winds. When he spoke to the trees and so forth, they obeyed him. He was God inside. And he could have been man. For he was man.
Wow. Amen.
Praise the Lord. He could have been man. For he was man. But he totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God. Completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God for the service of God. He
Amen.
Is our example.
Yes, right.
He is our example.
Wow.
He wasn't wishy-washy. He wasn't in one day and out the other. Wow. But he brought this flesh under subjection
Amen.
To the Word of God. The Spirit that laid within him. And you know what? We've got to do the same thing. If he's our example, we've got to do the same thing.
Amen.
Get your flesh out of the way. You're trying to please God? Get your flesh out of the way.
Oh,
crucify the guy.
Yeah.
Kill him.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Put him to death.
Amen.
And allow God to take preeminence in your life. Once again, the guy in the control tower. That's the man we've got to listen to. Oh, the flesh likes to do this and the flesh likes to do that. But the guy in the control tower has different plans. Don't do that. Will we fall? Sure we will. Will we fail? Sure we will. But try to get this flesh under subjection to the Word of God. And then it'll produce a life that we read about. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let this mind. You mean to tell me there, the tomb, they cut Jesus' head open and cut a sliver of his brain off and gave it to this one and another piece and gave it to that one? What is the Spirit? Let this Spirit, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it'll quicken your mortal bodies. How many wants to be quickened? Who wants to be changed? Praise the Lord. He is our example. He says we are men and women. And we're also Christians. If He is our example, let us completely deliver ourselves into the hands of the Holy Ghost, we might be subjects of the kingdom of God. He was totally man. He was totally God. But he surrendered his natural parts, his physical parts, hold on now, his own thinking. And his own thinking. I think the word means this. Do we do that? Many people do. Our own thinking. I can't get these messages without seeking God.
Amen.
If I was to try to put something together, naturally speaking, with my own thinking, I'd have everything messed up. But it's surrendering, yielding, your own thinking, your own ideas, your own desires to the will of God. I'm going to read that again. He was totally man. He was totally God. But he, capital H, he surrendered his natural parts, his physical parts, and his own thinking, and his own doing, and his own cares. And I do only that which pleases the Father. There you are, totally delivered from human beings. The priests come to him, the great men, and said, Rabbi so-and-so, and tried to bribe him into their affiliations and denominations, but he was totally delivered because he trusted. He trusted in God. He says, did not the psalmist say, Thou wilt deliver him? For he has completely trusted in me. I will deliver my darling from the dogs because he has trusted in me. Praise the Lord. This flesh don't trust God. Amen? This flesh don't trust God. That's why there's doctors. That's why there's surgeries. Because we don't believe in healing. This flesh don't. This flesh likes to pay a pretty penny just to get a knee replacement or to get all these different things. A couple years ago, I had hernia surgery. $9,000. What is it? This flesh don't trust God. But the guy in the control tower, God Himself, taking preeminence in the hearts of believers, is sitting there and He's saying, I can be a healer. I can be a Savior. I can be your ever-present help in the time of trouble. And the flesh goes, no, don't listen to him. What is it? A battle begins to rage. And one's wanting to trust God. And one's trying to desire the things of the world. Constant warfare. A battle. So who's going to win? Who's going to win? The one you feed the most. The one you tend to the most. If you miss church and don't come to hear from your theophany, praise the Lord. That's what the Word of God does. It says when you come to church, you're hearing, and you hear the Word of God, you're hearing from your theophany. You're hearing from that body saying, keep on pressing the battle. Keep on moving forward. It's almost going home time. And the flesh gets tired and weak and don't want to do those things. It's a battle. A battle. But don't yield to this flesh. Bring it under subjection. Because we've got to live in this until the day of the rapture. Unless we go by the way of the grave, we've got to deal with it. So it's a battle. Pray and read your Bible every day. Praise the Lord. You know, so there's a battle. There's a warfare. Personal warfare. But there's also a perfection of a believer. There's a perfection of a believer. So how does that happen if we can't perfect it? There's a perfection of a believer. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Amen. Talking about the law. Amen. Year by year, we'd send the high priest in, and every year we'd have to do it, and there was a remembrance. I'm a sinner. And then you'd go on after your sins were forgiven, and then a year later, I'm a sinner. There's a conscience of sin. Amen. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasures. Praise the Lord. So how can it be? If every year we're having to be reminded, you're sinners. Go and get the blood of bulls and goats and offer it year after year after year after year. There's a remembrance. In the law, when you deal with the law of blood and bulls and goats, and year after year after year after year, you're reminded you're a sinner. You're in need of saving. Yeah. Praise the Lord. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come.
Amen.
In the volume of the book, it is written of me.
Amen.
To do thy will. Oh God, above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law.
Amen.
Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified, the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Good.
But this man, he had offered one. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. On the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, only one, not year after year after year, but by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that, he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember. Will I remember no more? Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Praise the Lord. One man. Not year after year after year after year. What kind of a life would that have been? Amen. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to lay down his life once and for all, so that whenever Satan comes to try to condemn you, there's no more remembrance, no more conscious of sins. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do that. Every year they were reminded, hey, it's that time of the year. Your sins, man, they're unmeasurable. Blood of bulls and goats, and the high priest would take it in. But then Jesus came. God in simplicity came. And he shed a blood. A blood that was not of bulls and goats. He shed a blood that was to take away all sins. Not only that, but bring them to a point where they're of no more remembrance.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So what does this flesh do? You're a sinner. Why go to church, man? You did this yesterday. You did that. What is it? It's the flesh warring. Because he knows the Spirit, if they're living by the Spirit, they don't have no remembrance of their sins. So me being Satan, me being the devil, I'm going to use their flesh and I'm going to work their mind to tell them, you're sinners. You're sinners. You can't go to church in the condition you're in. And what do? We start listening. Maybe you're right. And we begin looking at the flesh and oh my, and then another warfare, another battle. But then all you hear is, and there's a guy in the control tower. What is that, he said? He says, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of saving. Well, that's funny. I sent a son one day. I sent a man to the cross. And he shed a blood that has delivered you from the law of sin, from the law of death, and there's no more remembrance of what you did. What is it? A guy in the control tower. The control tower. If you don't let them in there, good luck. There's people going to be hitting buttons in there all day long. And you're going to be no telling where you're going to end up. But if there's someone in there, he says, oh my, he says, that dove ain't gone too far from you. She's waiting on that limb of peace. Waiting for your nature.
Amen.
That's what he said. Yeah. Waiting for your nature to be changed. Then he will take his seat on the throne of your heart.
Amen.
Thank God for a man in the control tower. Because if we had to fight this on our own, we would lose. We would be out in the world. We would be doing the things of the world and loving the things of the world. But God has taken preeminence in your life. And you've allowed Him to have every key to every door that lays within your heart. And by the grace of God, He's going to bring this flesh under subjection to the Word of God. And all of a sudden, you'll desire not to cut your hair no more. You'll desire not to wear earrings and tattoo, all these different things. What is it? There's a man in the control tower. Because if it was up to the flesh, we would have earrings coming, no telling where would they be coming from. Tattoos, no telling where they'd be. What is it? The flesh desiring the things of the world. But the Spirit trying to satisfy the things of God. So there's a warfare. Personal warfare. Now listen to this. The invasion of the United States, 1954. I wonder if we're not living in that kind of a time when we take great evangelists, like many that's crossing the lands today of great known evangelists who study psychology and attract the people to the church. But after you once get them into the church, then what are you going to do with them? What's going to happen after they get into the church? Just join the church and go back with the same sin and the same desire that they come into the church with? They go back to the same way? And that's the reason today the world looks on and says, well, if that man's got religion or if this person's got religion, and he says, I'm afraid we've made it too easy. He says, it's I love, I think, joy. Certainly, I believe that all joys lays in Jesus Christ. That's right. I believe it's a joyful and happy. But remember, brother, it's the way of agony and suffering and the cross. He says, you must realize that too. That's right. I wonder if we haven't painted it a little too smooth. He says, like I was looking at my wife, talking about Mother's Day. And I said, oh, honey, I don't know. Mother's Day is wonderful, but that's like the world. They've commercialized the thing just merely to sell flowers and things like that. Why? It's a discredit to mother. Why, my mother talks about his mother every day is Mother's Day. Yes, sir, not just one day. I'll say, you love your mother. I sent her a bouquet of flowers last Mother's Day. Well, brother, she ought to be mother every day, but it's commercial. And then he said, that flower is pretty, He says, I love a pretty flower. I think of that just like I do how pretty the flower is. It blooms and it's got a fragrance. And the passerby smells it. The animal comes by and smells it. But now look, it's pretty like the church of the living. Like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most glorious thing, divine healings and powers and wonders and signs and miracles and freedom from sin. It's a beautiful place. But look, we'll have to come, the church like nature, he says. That rose being pretty, every cow in the country will lick it. Will lick on it if she could. But nature provided little bionics, a little spear sticking out there called thorns. And they leave them away. That protects it. That's exactly. And I think today if we haven't got the Word of God sharper than a two-edged sword around the beauty of the power of the holiness of God, then we're going to let every cow in the country lick on it and call it. It'll gum it. It'll be an indebtment of the church. That's right. I think today that what we need is more old-fashioned God-called ministers. Raw. Maybe not much with education. But we'll bring people down on the altar. Down on the altar. And there agonize. Not with a joy and a laughing and a popping, chewing gum, and put their name on a paper, but brother and old crying out, a dying out until men and women thoroughly repent from their sins and come close to God. Amen. It's a beautiful church. There's powers, there's miracles, there's supernatural, but God's got to protect it. Amen. He's got to protect the holiness of God. And just like the rose has thorns, God has a fivefold ministry. God has a ministry in a Joshua ministry in the land today that's used as spears, as thorns to protect the holiness of God. We can't paint a smooth picture. Oh, if you become a Christian, everything's going to be good, man. You're not going to have to worry about bills. Every bill's going to be paid. You're going to be driving a new car in a couple weeks, but it's rough. That's when Satan really fights. You think out in the world Satan's fighting you? No, sir. Wait till you say, oh, I'm accepting Jesus as my Savior. And he sees you at the altar and you're agonizing and you give your heart to God. Then Satan starts to fight. Satan gets mad. He thinks, my goodness, I know he never had you. He was called before the foundation of the world, but he's thinking in his mind, I've lost him. I had him at the bar 2 weeks ago and all of a sudden they're laying at an altar. That's when Satan fights. So he's going to use the flesh. Let me tell you something, Brother Cam. And back home as well. If we preached a pretty picture, the church would be filled. There'd be hundreds and hundreds of people coming off the street. It's okay to do this, sister, and it's okay to do that. You know, you can dress however you want. You can act this way or act that way. Church would be filled. But there's God called men with two-edged sword. They're slicing and dicing. And then you walk into the Chinese buffet and people look at you with spiritual eyes and they're thinking, man, these guys are all beat up. What's wrong with them? You guys in some kind of a war or something? So no, we went to church this morning. My goodness, why are you all cut up and beat up? Well, because supposedly I went into church and I had a lying spirit and the pastor cut it off. And I went in with this demon and the pastor cut it off. And what is it? God protecting the holiness, the gifts that lays within the church. Because if you didn't have God called men swinging that sword around, there'd be all kinds of people claiming to believe this message. But God wants to protect it. So what do? When we come to church, we're crucifying this flesh. There's things in our life, needs in our life. I'm not right here, Lord. I'm not right here. And the pastor will cut it off. Or a preacher will cut it off. And you think, thank you, Lord. Steps on your toes. Thank you, Lord. Don't get mad and stop coming to church.
But thank God that there's a man, amen, that's leading and guiding you in the right ways. Praise the Lord. If you come to church and don't feel no condemnation, there's something wrong. Amen. Because His body needs to be crucified every day that we live in it. Personal warfare. Two-edged sword around the beauty of the power of the holiness of God. We're going to let every cow in the country lick it and call it and gum it. It'll be an indictment of the church. That's right. I think today what we need is more old-fashioned God-called ministers. Raw, maybe with not much education, but will bring the people down on an altar. And they're agonized, not with a joy, laughing and popping, chewing gum and put their name on a paper, but brother and old crying out and dying out until men and women thoroughly repent from their sins and come close to God. Amen. The message law. Now the blood could not perfect by an animal. The blood cannot be perfect by an animal. But the blood in Christ was perfect. Now we'll never be perfect. And you will never be perfect. I will never be perfect in your sight. And you will never be perfect in my sight. But let's lay that aside. What about in God's sight? I look at you as a human. I look at you as a brother. But God looks at you through the blood. Through the blood of His own Son as a redeemed one. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. Perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And not what you've done. You have nothing to merit. But it's what Christ did for you. Oh, do you see it? If these offerings would have continued, why, we would have not needed any more sacrifice. But for the worshiper, once purged. And He says, let that sink way down deep. The worshiper, once purged, would have no more conscience or desire of sin. Of sin. If he's really purged. Really purged. You know what purging anything is? If it has been purged, the believer once purged has no more desire of sin. It should have been. So therefore the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do that. For the life that comes out of the blood cell from the goats and the sheep and the burnt offering was a life that went to meet Creator as an animal creation. But the life that came from the blood cell of the Son of God was none other than God Himself, who had come down and was in Christ reconciling the Word to Himself, the world to Himself, the great Jehovah. There it was, human. Not human life it was. If it was God's life, the Bible said we are saved by the blood of God. For there's no other male but God. And God's a spirit. It couldn't have been actually sexual. It had to come supernatural. That's why His church today believes in the supernatural. Praise the Lord. And a man that's ever confessed his sins, standing, laying his hands on the head of the dying Lamb, Christ, and look to Calvary, can never be the same no more. Amen. That's why when you come to church, you don't leave the same person. Amen. The prophet of God said you either leave better or you leave worse. That's what he said. He says you get out of the service what you come expecting to get. Amen. He says if you come expecting to find something to criticize, said, don't worry. The devil will give you plenty to criticize. But he says, if you come to receive a blessing from God, he said, God will see to it that you get that blessing. I don't know about you, but that's where I stand. I want a blessing from God. And let me tell you something. I'll wrestle just like Jacob wrestled with the angel. I'll wrestle with this flesh until I get my blessing. Until I get my promise, a body change. Don't you want to be changed? Amen. Tired of your back hurting, your legs hurting, amen, getting sick? What are we doing? We're wrestling with the flesh. Amen. And the flesh is saying, let me go! Let me go! And you're saying, I ain't letting you go until this nature, this body is changed. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you give up that easy, something's wrong with you. Praise the Lord. There it was, human, not human life. It was God's life. The Bible said we are saved by the blood of God. For there's no other male but God. And God's a spirit. He couldn't have been actually sexual. It had to come supernatural. That's why His church today believes in the supernatural. And a man that's ever confessed his sins, standing, laying his hands on the head of the dying lamb, Christ, and looked to Calvary, can never be the same no more. That's right. For by one sacrifice, Hebrews 10:14, for by one sacrifice He hath perfected forever those that are sanctified. Amen. Those that are sanctified are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. See it, sinner. See it, sinner. Directs that one. See it, sinner. And look at it. Don't try to get better. You can't get any better. Just come the way you are. Let me tell you something. If you're waiting to come to church until you're perfect, you're going to miss the rapture. Amen. If you're too busy worrying about perfecting this, I need to change my ways. Just come how you are. I serve a God that can take away all them desires, and you'll walk out a different person. Oh, I'll wait till this or wait till that. Just come how you are. Just come how you are. God wants you. You say, well, I sought God. Brother Brandon said, you never seek God. It's God that sought you. It's God that went out looking for you. He says, it's not in a man to seek God. It's not in a man to go look for God. You say, how do you know? What did Adam do? Adam! Brother Brandon said, it should have been Adam saying, God, here I am, Lord. I've fallen. I've failed. But He said the nature of a sinner came out and said, Adam, where are you? The nature of a sinner is to run from God and hide from God. Praise the Lord. So if you're looking for God, you might as well give up. God's looking for you. And if you're a seed of God, you can run as fast as you want, but God's going to catch you. God's going to bring you in. He's going to throw out His net. And you're going to be swimming as hard as you can. And you're thinking, my goodness, I used to have a desire to smoke. All of a sudden, it ain't there no more. What is it? God! Bringing this flesh under subjection to the Word of God. See it, sinner? Look at it. Don't try to get better. You can't get any better. Just come the way you are. No matter what you do, you can never merit nothing. The only thing that you can do is believe on Him that justifies the ungodly. The ungodly. When you do that, you're saved. Oh, what a change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And I shall go there to dwell in that city above since Jesus came into my heart. What a difference it's made. It stoops. I love this. It stoops to the lowest, to the prostitute. It goes to the drunkard, to the gambler, to the millionaire. What? To the aristocrat, to the church member. Huh. So it stoops to the lowest? Prostitute? I ain't a prostitute. Aristocrat? Not that neither. A drunkard? No. Gambler? No. Church member? That's me. That's you. Millionaire? There ain't no way I'm a millionaire. But we're a church member. So you mean God has to stoop to the church member? And change their ways? And they go to church? I'll tell you something. Coming to church is not going to get you in a rapture. Praise the Lord. Oh, forsake not the assembling. Amen. But if you think that's what it takes, no, sir. No, sir. Your flesh will feel good. I went to church. I'm all right. And all of a sudden, there he is in the control tower. What did he say? He said, well, he went to church. His flesh is good. Repent!
Amen.
Find a place at the altar.
Right.
Amen.
Amen!
You might go to church. You might feel good after church. You might get goosebumps. But I want preeminence in your life.
Amen.
That's what it's going to take. It's for God and you to be one. Goes to the drunkard, to the gambler, to the millionaire, to the aristocrat, to the church member. Whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountain of the water of life freely. Praise the Lord. Law having a shadow. And every man that's ever born of the Spirit of God takes on the nature that he can't digest the world no more. For if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. And brother, if you still love the world and professing to be God's child for the sake of your own soul, find a place at the altar and pray through until God takes the world out of you. For He has perfected forever those that are sanctified or cleaned by the Holy Spirit. Then we are in perfection.
Amen.
We are in perfection. The law having a shadow of things, not even the real things to come, with them sacrifices can never make the believer perfect. But a believer once coming into Christ, and by one Spirit baptized into that body, He has perfected forever those that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Then the things of the world, in Christ Jesus, in the things of the world, see, and he, the worshiper, once purged, has no more conscience, or the right interpretation of that, has no more desire of sin. For the worshiper, once purged, has no more desire conscious of sin. He doesn't even want to sin. But when I would do good, evil is present. Do we sin? Sure we do. We fail? Sure we do. Do we fall short of the glory of God sometimes? Sure we do. But in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So Paul said, it is not I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Personal warfare. And by one Spirit baptized, He is perfected for those that are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't even want to sin. He will do things wrong. And as soon as He does it, He will confess His sins right there and say, oh God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. You know it, Father. God never sees it. But He has an advocate. He has a confession and He makes it. Has an advocate, He has a confession and makes it. But the man who goes ahead and sins and says, well, I belong to a church. Don't make any difference. It shows that right in him proves that he hasn't got what he says he's got. No, sir, you can't draw bitter and sweet water from the same fountain. That's right. For God has made a sacrifice to perfect every believer. That's in Christ Jesus. And when we stand in His presence, we'll not have to stand on our own self. Thank God for that. We're standing and Christ stood in our place to take our place. And He has judged Christ, not you and I. We have accepted it. We've accepted it. And if you haven't accepted it tonight, my brother, sister, when you see the agony and the price it cost Almighty God to get your soul saved, could you turn Him down upon those kind of a basis? Certainly not. Surely. Surely you couldn't. The Almighty God paid a price. If you understood the price He paid to save your lost soul, could you turn Him down? Could you turn Him away? He said, the foxes, they had their dens. The birds, they had their nests. But the Father, the Creator, had not a place to lay His head. Where's He at in your life? Question your heart. Where's He at in my life? Am I leaving Him like Simon did or whoever it was? when the one that went to the woman that washed his feet with her hair, their tears, and dried them with her hair? Are we going to leave them unwelcome in the corner with dirty feet? Are we going to leave them in the corner and not make them welcomed? Where's he at in your life? Is he sitting somewhere in the closet, unwelcomed? Have you welcomed him with a kiss? Have you anointed his feet? Or is he just sitting there with dirty feet? And you go on thinking, I'm a church member. And Jesus is sitting there with not even a place to lay his head. And you're thinking, you're all right. God, help us. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
To look around. Our life is a personal walk with God. If I'm too busy looking at Brother Freddie's life, I'm going to miss it. Too busy looking at Brother Simon's life, I'm going to miss it.
Amen.
But I'm going to step back and look at my life and think, God, where are you? Where are you in my life? Have I made you welcomed? Have I washed your feet? Have I taken my alabaster box and broken the oil and anointed your feet? Or are you sitting there desiring, begging me to love you? That's what the prophet of God said. God is begging you, pleading with you to love him. When God can look at you and say, love me, and you will love him because he's God, spoken word. But he's given you the decision.
Amen.
And he's sitting there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Not if any church, if any family, but if any man hear my voice and let me in, I will sup with you. But we're too busy for God. We've thrown him on the shelf and he's collecting dust. And we put everything of the things of the world in front of him. And we're clinging to the things of the world and feeding this flesh. And our soul's longing for something greater. And we threw him on the back shelf. And God is desiring to be loved. And our soul's crying out, I need a change in my life. I need a change. I desire God.
Amen.
And we don't heed to the call. It's a warfare. It's a battle that we're facing every day. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You say, oh, Brother JJ, God has, he's forgot about me. He's put me on the shelf somewhere and he's forgot about me. It's not me forgetting about God. It's God forgetting about me. I have needs and he hasn't met them. God will not always meet them. Amen. God don't have to warn you what he's going to put you through. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll be a Christian, Brother JJ, as long as God says, in September of 2015, you're going to go through this. You're going to go through that in April of 2014 or October of 2014. God don't have to warn you. I played Little League when I was little. And before, when I went up to bat, I never had a pitcher come up to tell me, look, this is what's going to happen. The first pitch, it's going to be a curveball. It's going to come inside. And then the next pitch is going to be a slider, and it's going to hit the corner. It's going to skim the corner. And then don't worry, the third pitch is going to be a fastball right down the middle, right down the pipe. I never had a pitcher come up to me and tell me what he's going to throw at me. What was my job as a batter? Be ready. Be ready.
Amen.
Standing in the box, it doesn't matter what come your way. You've been coached to hit a curveball. You've been coached to hit a knuckleball or a slider.
Amen.
All you've got to do is be ready.
Good,
and you're a Christian this morning, this evening. And all your job is be ready. God will put you through a trial 2 weeks from now. You know nothing about it. But if you're a Christian, you'll be ready.
Amen.
If you're a Christian, you'll be ready. Job didn't know what was going on. Job didn't know what God was doing with him. all of a sudden, how's it going, Tobe? It's going good. Man, news just came in. I don't know if you've heard, but I'm here to tell you, your kids, they're dead. And Job didn't go get in the fetal position in the corner and suck his thumb. But he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah? Job, you'll never believe this, but our crops, everything we have is gone. It's gone. Well, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Job was sitting on an ash heap, scraping his boils. And watch Satan. Watch how smart he is. Miss Job's over there washing dishes. And Satan comes and says, Miss Job, look at your man out there sitting on an ash heap. What's wrong with him? You say you serve God? You say you live a Christian life? Why don't you go tell him to curse God and die? Watch Satan. Anointing. Come on now. Anointing. The one that Job was one with. His wife. Oh, Job, you look so miserable, Job. You serve a God and you say He's real. Why don't you just curse Him and die? And Job said, you speak of a foolish woman. The Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
What was it? The prophet of God said it was God testing a saint. God testing a saint. Job had no idea, but he was ready. And you know what? God had confidence in Job. That's why he looked at Satan and suggested Job. Have you considered my servant Job? He didn't give Satan a long list. Look, here's a list of all the brothers in the church, sisters in the church. Take your pick. But he says, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. He's an upright man. He's a perfect man. One that loveth God and escheweth evil. And Job had no idea. He was still praising God and his children died and he's still praising God. And Satan said, my goodness, what's wrong? What was it? He was ready. He was a warrior and he was ready for battle. Amen. You might not know what's going to happen a week from now or tomorrow, but be ready. Watch and wait, for the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh.
Amen.
Let's stand. Oh, God's forgotten about me, Brother JJ. He don't love me no more. He don't love me no more. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God ain't forgot about you. Oh, you might be in the darkest time of your life, but God has not forgot about you. Carlsbad Caverns, New Mexico. Remember that little girl, little sister and little brother that went into the caverns? Dropped way down deep in there and it got so dark. It was light. Constructor turned it off. And the little girl said, it's dark, I'm scared. And the brother said, don't worry, little sister. There's a man that can turn on the light. Oh, you might be in the darkest time of your life, but let me tell you something. There is a man that can turn on the light. For there will be light in the evening time. Praise the Lord. Don't you love Him? God have mercy on us. Create in me a clean heart. While we sing that song, let's just worship Him for a bit. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. He wants to be worshipped. He loves it. He loves it. That was His desire. since before he was God, he wanted worship. He wanted somebody to love him. Make time for God, church. If there's things in your life that you're putting number one, lay it aside. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. I remember one time I was at a party. My dad's sitting back there. I lied to him. I said, I'm going to go have a tournament on a video game. I'm going to go with my friends. All right, that's fine. Go ask your mom. Go ask your dad. So I went. It was graduation time. I told Brother Simon this testimony. Graduation time, I was a freshman. There was 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds. I mean, it was a big party. Walked across the street, and I was standing against the wall, and there was a girl standing next to me. She was older than me. Never had tasted alcohol in my life. Never knew what it was. Knew what it was, but never knew what it tasted like or knew what it was to party. There was a Catholic girl sitting next to me, all painted up. I mean, the works. Didn't know who she was. And I was standing there. She looked at me and said, you want a drink? And I said, man, this is it. Got to win some points with this girl. And I said, yeah, I'll take a drink. Took a drink. Before you knew it, two bottles were down. Three bottles were down. First person that ever gave me alcohol was that girl. You want to know what happened to her? So did God punish her? You want to know what happened to her? She's watching my kids right now. I ended up marrying her. You talk about the grace of God. I love you, Lord. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's feeling a tug in their life. If you want to be prayed for, we're more than happy to pray for you. As we sing this song, create in me a clean heart, O God. Give David, a man that didn't even know the Holy Ghost. Amen. To say these words, create in me a clean heart of God. What about sons and daughters of God who've been redeemed, who had a taste of the Holy Ghost in this hour that we're living in? David, more than anything, probably wanted to live in this hour. Paul wanted to live in this hour. Irenaeus wanted to live in Wesley. And here we sit, the capping, the ending. We're sitting right in the midst of a golden age, an eagle age. Praise the Lord. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Joy of softly. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, how beautiful is thy mercy. How beautiful is thy grace, Lord. Father, when you would look beyond our flesh, look beyond our wants, beyond our failures, beyond our mistakes, and you would look at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, how we thank thee, O God. Father, we're an unworthy people. We're a wretched people. But when you look at us through the blood, Father, we become kings and priests. We become sons and daughters of God only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for that blood this evening. We thank you for the shedding of the blood. Not a blood that lasts a year to year to year, but a blood that forever has changed our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, you see the people here, Lord. You see myself, dear God. Father, we're going through a warfare with our flesh. Help us, dear God, to bring it under subjection. To feed the Spirit more than we do the flesh. Crucify us, Lord. Crucify our flesh, dear God. That we can walk in the likeness of you. That we can lay aside the sin that so easily besets us off the pathways of God. Oh, dear God. We worship you this evening, Lord. We lift our voices to you, God. Accept our worship, Lord. Bright and morning star. You're the first, you're the last, you're the Omega, you're the Alpha. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Speak to us, I pray, Lord. Search us out, God. Search our hearts, Lord. Lord, if there's any blackness that lays within us, you can't live there. Drive it out, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would bless this assembly, Lord. May you bless Brother Cam, the pastor of this church, Lord. May you bless them, Father, for the hospitality they've given us. Father, we're nothing special, but they made us feel special. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd keep our friendship, Lord, for an eternity, dear God. And Father, may when we step on that plane and go back to New Mexico, may that not separate us, Lord. But may we forever be brothers in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters of life, precious faith. And Lord, if we don't get the opportunity to meet on this side, I know for a fact, Lord, that we will meet on that other side. Father, take the words that were spoken this evening, and may you drive them in every heart, Lord, myself included. Father, may we walk out a different person, not worse, but better. And Father, may we live a life that's so pleasing to you that it'll cause a rapture. That's our desire, Lord. That's what we live for, dear God. We're striving for rapture. I understand the rapture has already taken place on the inside of our hearts with the literal catching up of the bride. That's what I want more than anything in the world, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. God bless you. Cast me not away.